Hey, you guys, happy Sunday.
Yeah, we had a little delay there, about 10 minutes. Had to reset the router.
Holy shit,
man. Couldn't get the shit streaming right.
Nothing works.
It's going slow. It was just the router needed to be reset. That's not a big deal. It's just that it takes a long time for it to go through the reset cycle.
That's what I mean. It's like every god, man. I don't know if it's just the internet here or the computers or whatever. Everything's like grandpa speed.
It's a mixture of everything.
Holy shit. It's just a mixture. It makes me want to pull my fucking hair out.
It's just how it is.
Yeah, it's slow.
Well, we don't have that fucking really good high-speed internet cable company that we had at the last place.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
That place was that was a good company. What was the name of that company again?
We had AT&T for a while.
Yeah, I changed it a couple times during the time that we were there. But I had that shit set up on auto pay. I forgot which one it was. I think it was AT&T.
Yeah, Zach said, Jenny, you look good with your hair down. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had it up earlier, but then I thought,
Yeah.
It was looking kind of messy, so I just like brought it down. Yeah, we're finally pull Tom's hair out instead.
What's that?
Pull Tom's hair out instead. Yeah, I could just go.
Yeah, she snaps on me, you know. She.
What the fuck
was that? It's on the damn train.
I guess it was a semi horn or something.
Yeah, it was one of the fucking rednecks. With his monster truck.
Knock it off.
He has a fucking train horn.
Well, I get mad at you because you say like really obvious things like I didn't already think of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What have you tried like turning it off and turning it back on? I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I know how computers work. But yeah, so remember like last week we said that we were going to do Midnight Cowboy because we watched it last week and then we just didn't get around to it because we didn't do the matinee, we did other movies and various other things. So finally today we're finally getting around to talking about it, god damn it.
Yeah, Midnight Cowboy.
And this, like I said, we got into this whole, we went off on this whole 70s thing really just because we talked about that movie The Believers from 87, which was John Schlesinger. And then we were kind of like, oh, we should watch like Midnight Cowboy. We should watch this other thing. And then we've just been watching fucking 70s movies.
70s is fucking delivering.
Out the wazoo.
We watched Eyes of Laura Mars last night. That fucker was off the chain.
We'll have to. Yeah, you've never seen that, had you? Uh-huh. I saw that.
All star cast.
I had seen that a bunch of times when I was younger, and I hadn't seen it in a long time.
Fucking, what's his name? Tommy fucking,
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones was in it. I didn't know he was in it. Fucking dude who played Gomez was in it. Fucking damn.
Raul Julia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll talk about that tomorrow probably. Mm-hmm. Also, last night we watched Prisoners of the Ghostland, the new Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah.
Didn't love it.
Nah.
Visually cool, but I don't know. I couldn't get into it.
It's just kind of a ripoff of Into the Badlands, that series, you know, that was playing after fucking Walking Dead, which I never even got into the original.
Yeah,
where it's like cowboys and samurai and everything all in the same kind of futuristic post-apocalyptic fucking, it was hilarious, it was kind of funny, you know. He was caging the fuck out in it. It looked good, you know, but it just
Yeah, I couldn't really get into it. It looked like most of the Shudder people were kind of like, I think it had 3 stars, which usually means most people are kind of like I didn't love it.
Yeah, had the girl who played the mummy in it. She was looking cute. The mummy from fucking Tom Cruise's Mummy.
No Need for Me Too says, I would get this and Rhinestone Cowboy mixed up when I was younger. It's funny because every time I think about this movie, that fucking Rhinestone Cowboy song goes. Even though this movie is much, much better. Several hundred times better than Rhinestone Cowboy. Yeah. But I did see that one too as a kid because, of course, I did. I kind of saw everything. But, so had you seen Midnight Cowboy prior to us watching it? You hadn't you?
Me? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you had.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's just, I kind of feel like I'd seen it a bunch of times, and then
I'd seen it a couple times, but really didn't get it. I was, I think the last time I saw it, I might have been about 21, 22. No, I was probably about 24, last time I saw it. And I just thought it was just kind of like a depressing or kind of funny. It starts off kind of funny like buddy flick that ends up being depressing at the end. I didn't really see through the fucking psychosexual angle of it. I was going, oh, okay. There's a lot more to this movie than meets the eye. You got to think about it, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, it's about this dude from fucking Texas who was a dishwasher, and The only thing he's got going for himself is that he's good looking and he looks like a fucking cowboy. He said, he tells people, I'm not a real cowboy, but I am a real stud.
Right. Yeah, that's like his go-to line.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his branding.
So he has this dream that he's, this is taking place in the 70s. He has this dream that he's going to leave Texas.
Well, 69 this came out. 69. The book actually came out in 1965.
Okay.
But the movie came out in 1965.
It looked like early 70s.
Yeah. Well, same.
Same thing. So he goes to, he has this dream that if he goes to Texas, or if he goes to New York, he will be able to sell dick to all these women that love cowboys.
These rich older ladies.
Rich older ladies. Right. So he gets there, and actually, he fucking, the first woman he gets, he fucking gets a jackpot. You know, he probably could have made that his girlfriend. She was already had all kinds of money. But no, he's trying to sell the dick. And she's like, get the fuck out of here. You know,
well, and he ends up giving her money.
Yeah, he ends up giving her money. Well, kind of, she's crying about it. You know, fucking, he gives her money. And so he fucking goes to New York, and they start running through his Texas ass.
Because he's really naive.
He's too soft to be a gigolo, you know? And he falls in with this dude named fucking Rizzo, who they call him Ratzo. Fucking Rizzo fucking takes him for a ride and sends him to a damn religious cult. It says you need management, you know.
Here, I know this pimp.
Yeah. It was a preacher. Okay, but Ratso got $20 out of it. Okay, he sees Ratso later. Fucking, you know, threatens to beat his ass. But they kind of become friends. And Ratso's fucking living in this abandoned apartment, and he's living in there with him, and all kinds of weird shit happens, you know. Fucking Ratso starts fucking with him, you know. Cowboys are gay, you know. Fucking, and in New York, it is kind of funny because in New York, at this time, probably still is that, it's part of the gay fetish thing.
Yeah.
So he ends up having to like selling it. Well, first he sells it to a little Jewish kid. Remember that in the fucking movie theater? But then the kid didn't have any money.
Fun fact.
And he didn't even beat him up.
Fun fact, that was Bob Balaban. That was the same guy that directed Parents. Right. And he's been in a zillion things, and he's directed a zillion things.
Yeah. So all this fucking wild-ass shit happened, and you're like, what the hell is wrong with this dude? Why is all... And every time he goes through these fucking weird moves, they kind of do a flashback of how he grew up in Texas. And it's some weird shit. His mom was hanging out with some other chick. She like a teenager. And they just kind of gave him over to the grandma.
Yeah.
And she never saw his mom again. So I guess his mom was kind of a hoe. You know, she never came back. And grandma, I guess there was a sexual relationship going on with grandma.
See, that's kind of... I always ambiguous. Thought that was the implication. Now, they do... Like, it's pretty straightforward that grandma was also kind of a hoe. No shame against hoes. She liked cowboy. She liked cowboys, which is where he got the cowboy thing, because there's, like, all these father figures that were coming through his life that were all kind of, like, these cowboy types. I'm pretty sure, and we're not the only people that have said this. I don't see it, like, in probably about 20% of the reviews I read of it, some people have said, is the implication that the grandma was sexually molesting him.
I think, or at least giving him approval. To a point and support.
Yeah, it could go either way. I don't think it's not explicitly like laid out, and I'm not sure if it is in the book either.
They show them in bed together, but they don't ever show them having sex. It was just kind of a
because that would have been something. She even was for just 1969.
Yeah, she was just kind of like he saw her as a big security blanket, you know. So, and then he gets all these opportunities in the movies to make girlfriends, but he doesn't. He doesn't follow through. You know what I mean? He's trying to sell it. You know what I mean? Instead of having a relationship. It's fucking nuts. Well, then they show what happened to him with his girlfriend. He had this girlfriend who fucking doted on him and said...
Crazy Annie.
How he was the only one type of deal. But I think she was having sex with a bunch of other dudes.
She was the town bike.
Yeah. And when they were making out... Fucking on a lover's lane type thing, all her fucking spurned fucking boyfriends that she was sleeping with converge on the car and rape her and him.
Yeah. All it's right. like a gang rape.
Yeah. So
and they don't show it.
They don't show it, but they let but you know
it,
that's what happened.
I mean, they kind of show it, but it's like in more yeah. implication than yeah. It's like a flashback.
And that's when he was in high school. And then when the cops show up, because she's crazy, she blamed him for it.
Yeah. And she gets taken and put in an asylum.
Or yeah. Something, now, so he's kind of like the reason why he can't have a normal relationship is because he sees it as possible too dangerous, like it's going to be betrayal.
Well, he's never had a healthy relationship modeled for him.
Yeah, right.
So he doesn't really know any better. And another thing, yeah. too, is that his whole thing where he actually thinks he's going to go to New York City and be a gigolo, and he's going to be really, really popular at it because the only thing he's good at is loving, he says.
Yeah.
But the implication is that Crazy Annie was his only yeah. girlfriend.
Yeah.
She was taking him for a ride.
Right. Yeah.
So he kind of thought that he was going to be able to, like, not necessarily pull the wool over other people's eyes, but it's like everybody was, like, taking advantage of him, but he didn't really seem to be aware of it.
Yeah. It's got a lot of weird angles, all right?
Yeah.
Now, he gets drafted and goes to the army. And when he comes back a year later, he goes back home and grandma's gone. She's dead. And and they show him out there breaking down, crying in front of the house, and it's all abandoned. And he blamed her. He said that she died without telling him.
Yeah.
That's some weird shit. Yeah, you know.
Oh, hey, I'm dying over here.
So that was kind of...
I'm dead now.
Yeah, so he had to become a dishwasher, and he wanted to go back into like a, I guess, the security type of blanket of being taken care of by older women. And like I said, he could have had that, but for some reason he was hell-bent on selling it instead of fucking having a relationship with these women, because he could have had a relationship with them. Yeah. They had money. It's crazy. And he wasn't getting any money for it. They weren't paying him much. He was only asking for like $20.
I was like, wow,
fucking crazy.
I mean, yeah. even in 1969,
yeah.
I kind of feel like that's kind of cheap. So
he's a failed gigolo.
Thing about it, and like I think Zach pointed out earlier, this is actually one of the first like mainstream gay movies where they made it seem like he didn't really want to do the gay thing, but he wasn't averse to it.
He was gay for pay.
Yeah, like he would do it because, you know, they kind of show a scene of him kind of going down and walking down the, you know, that district. And it's like yeah. there's a lot of like gay hustlers down there and they have like the cowboy shit going on.
Right.
And so he does. OK, well, I guess I'm going to do this because it's not working out like with the high end, like older ladies.
Yeah.
So he's not like averse to it. It's just like not his first choice. I guess.
And this is, I forgot the actor's name.
John Voight.
John Voight. Yeah. And John Voight's looking good in this, too. He's in real good shape. He's young. He's real handsome. He's the exact opposite of fucking Dustin Hoffman's character in this fucking Ratso. All right. Ratso's this fucking broken down fucking urban scumbag. You know, he's a con man. And he's like not even a good one. All right. Petty criminal and shit.
Yeah.
And the weird thing happened is that fucking Ratso was always making fun of him for fucking being gay for pay. And fucking with him and shit. But they were friends. And Ratso was getting sick. And fucking... What's the cowboy's name? Shit.
Joe Buck.
Joe. So Joe says... Joe was out turning tricks. And taking the money and buying food and trying to buy food and medicine for Ratso.
Yeah, he was a very good-hearted person.
Yeah, so in a way... This is kind of like... A relationship. This is his only relationship that he's ever had.
Yeah, it's like a bromance.
It's like a bromance, but there isn't any sex happening.
Yeah, it's kind of sweet, actually, yeah, because they're complete opposites.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing. This dude is not gay, but he's fucking selling it to dudes to get money to help Ratso. Well, finally, they get fucking evicted. They're going to fucking condemn the building. And he's got Ratso fucking... He says, I got to get you out of here. I got to get you out of New York.
He wants to go to Florida. That's his dream.
Yeah, so he's got him all... fucking Ratso's showing his fantasies about how famous he's going to be. He's going to be a famous cook in Florida and fucking tell... You know, go to all the resorts and...
Laying by the pool and all these old ladies are laying around.
It's fucking funny. He's Gordon Ramsay. He thinks he's Gordon Ramsay. All right. So he's fantasizing about that and... That's the second part of it is that they're trying to get to try to get Ratso out of fucking New York, because New York's
fucking
killed.
Because he's
getting
sicker and
sicker.
Well, and it doesn't...
He won't go to the doctor.
Well, yeah, that too. But the thing about it is that, well, one, he doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
He lives in a condemned building.
Yeah. He could have gone to the emergency room, though.
Which, that was an actual building that was condemned. They actually did tear it down after that. But the inside of his apartment, I watched like a behind-the-scenes documentary about this. The inside of his apartment, it was a real apartment, but they basically took the whole apartment apart and put it back together, like, in a soundstage.
Yeah.
And they said when you walked in there, it looked and smelled exactly like a New York City, like, tenement building. Because they took it from the building. It just wasn't in that building anymore. Because it wasn't safe, like, to film in there. They did, like, the exteriors.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he just lives in this, like, shitty... There's no electricity. There's no anything like that. So I think that's kind of why, like, he has this dream of, like, going to Florida. Because he's, like, freezing his ass off all the time. And Zach says, doesn't Dustin Hoffman, like, you know, Ratso, doesn't he die of AIDS or something at the end?
No, he does die.
He does die, but they don't...
Never to say.
They don't say what it is. But I just assumed he's, like...
Well, there's bad roaches in the apartment, and it was fucking pretty unsanitary in there, and he was sick from, I think, the beginning.
He might have had, like, pneumonia or something.
Yeah, and he
like
had
that.
A club foot.
Yeah.
And it must have been just something like typhus or fucking, you know, something that you normally don't die from, you know.
Yeah, because, like I said, he didn't have any heat. I'm sure he wasn't really eating all that much or anything any good. Like, he was eating a bunch of shitty food.
And it was real psychological. Whoever wrote this story, either they saw this happen or something, they maybe, because it really kind of is, kind of explores the human mind. You see, Joe is taking care of Ratso, and Ratso fucking lost control of his bladder. He fucking pissed himself. He was on the bus. He was so sick. So Joe takes his own money and fucking when the bus stops, gets him an all new set of clothes, and it's all fucking flower shirts, like
Yeah,
because
it's like Florida. They
Florida,
got Florida,
fucking right. And they got him. He's got him all dressed up like that, and he's fucking talking to him about how fucking great Florida's gonna be. And then he fucking dies. But he died kind of fantasizing about Florida. So,
and he did get there.
You got there,
technically.
And to be honest, Ratso would have never made it in Florida. he was fucking a New York City rat fucking through and through. I don't think he could have made that transition.
That's kind of like the whole point of it is that he had that dream.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, they were juxtaposing it against like Joe Buck dreaming that he was actually going to go to
New
York City.
No.
And he was going to be like this big famous gigolo and make all this money. And it's like neither of them really worked out. You know what I mean? But, you know, like I said, they found each other and it was just kind of like this kind of sweet friendship that developed.
Yeah. And then when he died, he goes up and this is kind of like a turning point in the movie at the very end. Fucking, well, when he was buying the clothes, there was a real cute waitress in there, Florida waitress, you know, who's flirting with him. And he's just having, like, you can see that he's already kind of getting sucked into maybe like a normal relationship.
Yeah.
That's possible.
So maybe he'd gotten through his issues.
And when he was when he was sitting there with Ratso, he says, you know, I think I'm just going to get a job when I get back. Because selling dick is too hard.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Selling dick is too hard. You know, so it wasn't going to work. So, and while he said, and then he died when he was telling him that. So he goes up to the bus driver and tells him, yeah, he died. You know, and fucking bus driver looks at him and says, well, here, we're just covered up. We're not going to make a big deal. It's okay. There's, you know, he's calming everybody down.
He's just sick.
And the bus driver asks him, he says, is he kin to you? And he went, no, he's not. And that's kind of how it was resolved. He wasn't related to him. They weren't married or anything. It wasn't, you know, and he just left him on the bus.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like they were buddies, but there was no future there. His future was back in Florida with girls. He wasn't even gay. So what was he going to do with Ratso?
Like I said, he wasn't averse to going gay for pay, but it wasn't really his,
but no,
really his preference.
But he was doing that to help help Ratso.
Because he was sick.
Because he was dying. Right.
But like I said, that was the thing. Like, he was such a good-hearted guy, and it's almost kind of like... He almost, like, for a little while, like, made Ratso a little bit of a better person. Because, like I said, at first, like, Ratso just tried to fuck him over, just like everybody else did.
Nobody cared about Ratso either. It was just kind of a symbiotic weird relationship between the two, but it wasn't sexual. It was just because nobody cared about them.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, they were, like, at the bottom of
the barrel.
They were
at the bottom of society, yeah.
Yeah, and they just kind of, like, found,
now,
I guess.
There was one good scene where him and Ratso were in the New York diner, and some proto-goths go in there and take a picture of fucking Joe because he looked good and invited him to a party. When he goes there, he has a fucking fantastic time. And Rizzo just, he's kind of like a third wheel.
It's one of the Andy Warhol parties.
It's like a Andy Warhol.
Those are all of the Andy Warhol people. Like, Andy Warhol actually helped them set up that. It actually looks like his studio. They set it up like that. And those are pretty much all his friends and hangers-on.
Yeah.
And they just basically said, have a party.
Yeah, they were cool-looking people, actually. They were getting high and shit. And Joe hooks up with a real hottie. She was young photographer, wasn't she? Was be a photographer? Or was she a photographer or artist or fashion designer or something?
That was Brenda Vaccaro. She was and she was also in Capricorn 1.
Okay, yeah.
She played the main guy's wife.
Yeah, and Rizzo's there trying to be the fucking pimp. And he fucking cutting the deal. And you know, he will have sex with you. You will pay him this amount of money. And she's like, oh, I gotta pay him. She's laughing it off.
She's like, all right.
Okay, all right, I'll pay him.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah, and fucking after he could have had a relationship with her, but he didn't do it. And then at the end of that night, she gives him a reference. She sends him over to one of her friends, but she never shows.
He never showed it,
She never shows. So that was kind of the end of his fucking gigolo career.
Yeah, he didn't really do much gigoloing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, to be honest with you.
No.
I mean, even when he did Gay for Pay, like I said, he had that one guy that he didn't really have sex with that guy. Not really.
No, it was just that.
It was just oral or whatever.
The dude was blowing him.
And then
let dudes blow him for money.
But then, like, they went to go to the bathroom later and he's like, oh, I don't have any money. So,
he didn't have any money. And then when that dude was blowing him, he looked like a little Jewish college boy or something was blowing him, and with glasses and shit, bookworm type. And while he's blowing him, there's some symbolism going on behind him, and the audience was all those dudes that raped him.
I didn't notice that.
They're back there laughing at him.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, but it was in his mind, you know.
Now I have to see that again.
Yeah.
Louis says, I always thought he died of tuberculosis. It might have been.
He wasn't coughing that much, though. Tuberculosis, you cough up blood.
I don't know. He
blood.
Was coughing. Yeah, he was coughing a lot.
Was he coughing up blood?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, he was coughing a lot.
Yeah, it was probably something like TB. Something like that. It was some medieval disease that normally wouldn't kill you.
Normally, like, you know.
You'd get treatment for.
You wouldn't get, like, in the West, or you'd get treated for. But like I said, that's what they were trying to say. It's like he lived in such shitty conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oracle says, the movie's a dark look at the American ideal that if you work hard, you can make money. Yeah, I think it's definitely that. I want to say, too, I was going to say, this is actually kind of funny, that I think people, like, when you watch this movie, you so associate Dustin Hoffman's character with New York City. He's just, like, the quintessential, like, New York sleaze.
Yeah.
And then, you know, John Voight's character is this aw shucks, like, good old boy from Texas. Ironically, John Voight, the actor, is from New York City.
Yeah.
And from Yonkers, actually.
Yeah.
And Dustin Hoffman is actually from California.
Yeah.
So that's just, like, acting, you guys, because you would never know that, like, watching this movie.
I don't think this has anything to do with working hard or the American dream or anything like that, though. I think that's a misconception. Because it's just obvious. Women don't pay for sex. It's very rare.
Well, yeah, obviously. But, like, the fact that he actually thought that could happen.
Well, it was kind of like he was imagining that because he wanted a stable relationship like he had with his grandmother.
Yeah, and he just thought, like, ladies.
He thought it would be like a trade.
It.
He'd entertain them, and they'd, you know. But,
like I said, it's kind of.
He doesn't know anything about reality.
Like I said, both characters were, you know. And I think that's what she means, what she's talking about, because both characters, he actually thought he was going to go make all this money.
Yeah, no.
You know, and Ratso actually thought he was going to go to Florida and they were going to make this big. So it's kind of like, I think that's what she means. Yeah, it's like a fantasy about the, oh, we'll just work hard and we'll get enough money to do what we want to do. But obviously that's not going to work out.
It's got to be within reason.
Yeah. Zach said, didn't this one win Best Picture? Yes, it did. This was actually, as far as I know, the only X-rated film to win Best Picture. It won 3 Academy Awards, I think. Best Picture, maybe Best Director. It was nominated for a shit ton. I know it won Best Picture, though. But yeah, and it's since, you know, obviously, you know, they put it in the Library of Congress, it's in all that kind of stuff. So it's in pretty much any list of best American films is going to have this on it. Yeah. And honestly, like I said, you know, I've seen it probably four or five times over the years, but it's one of those ones that, like, every time you watch it, you pick up more stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. One of the funny parts is, fucking, he's talking to Ratso and going on about fucking how macho cowboy being a cowboy is, this and that. Ratso goes, "Hey, New York, being a cowboy's gay. That's just gay stuff." He goes, "That's not gay. That's all macho, manly. You trying to tell me that John Wayne is gay?" And Ratso just kind of went, just started, you can see him thinking to himself, "Yeah, maybe. Maybe." He never thought of that, but he's like, "Maybe." I just thought that was good, you know. I mean, I thought that was fucking funny. You
well,
know?
Like I said, it's funny, yeah, because
you can't really stereotype gay people. He might be gay, you know. Fucking, but that was what Ratso was thinking. Yeah, maybe.
Possible.
But I think that went right over the fucking top of fucking Joe's head.
Well, that's the thing, is Joe Buck was just kind of like,
he had his own stereotype.
Well, and I mean, essentially, he's like a good-hearted idiot. Yeah. I mean, he's not super bright, and he's really naive.
Yeah,
and like I said, his whole conception of masculinity was cowboys,
yeah,
because that's every single father figure that came through his grandmother's bedroom, boudoir,
some kind of cowboy.
Was some kind of like cowboy. So to him, cowboys were like super, super manly. So he didn't really like, he wasn't really prepared to deal with the fact that in New York City, like you said, that was more of a gay thing.
Yeah, and that blew his mind.
Yeah, like he didn't really get it. So, yeah, but like I said, that's what's so great about like all these little details like that. And honestly, this time, I picked up more of the flashback stuff.
Yeah.
It's not, there's not a lot of flashback stuff in it, but it does kind of like, kind of go back and forth with him just remembering certain things from his childhood and his youth and stuff. But like I said, I think I picked up more this time, and I think I did pick up more of the implication that maybe his grandmother had molested him. I kind of feel like, because maybe that's why he associated like older women with, because at first, like, I think the first time I watched it, I just thought, oh, his grandma was like a hoe, or you know what I mean? Like I said, nothing against hoes, but I think this time I did kind of, because he did kind of associate like older women like that with, you know, with a sexual component.
Yeah, Oracle Munn said that they were considering Elvis Presley for fucking the role of fucking Joe.
Wouldn't that have been something?
Not in 68.
I don't think he would have.
I never would have done it.
No. Even if they would have asked him, he wouldn't have done it. Because, like I said, he was very, very conservative.
And then by the time 68 had rolled around, But no, he was already not in good shape. Well, actually, he had a comeback tour.
Yeah, 69, I think 69, he looked okay.
Yeah, I think he probably looked all right.
But
he, you know, Elvis had drug problems.
I don't think it would have worked.
No.
I mean,
he wouldn't have done it. He'd have gone,
well, yeah,
I didn't know that.
Even if he would have done it, he's like, it would be too sleazy for him.
Right, yeah.
But I think John Voight was a good choice. I don't think John Voight was the first choice either. I think there was like a bunch of other ones that they wanted. But when he came in, I think I saw like the behind the scenes documentary. They showed like part of his background or his the audition tape. And basically, what they did when they wanted to audition them, he actually had to like beg his agent. He's like, "Please, please, please, like let me audition for this," because he really wanted it, even though they didn't really want him, like I said. So he finally gets to go in there, and what the audition was just the casting director or whoever like berating him about, it's like, "Why the fuck, why are you dressed like that? Why are you like," and he had to like come up with something on the fly and like be the character.
Yeah.
And he was just like really, really good. They said they really liked the way he could come up with all this stuff. Like he was like really like sweet and vulnerable. But also, I don't want to say arrogant, but he had like this weird confidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you
that's
know.
The way he is in the movie.
Right. And and so they really liked that juxtaposition of character. Yeah. Like he was obviously like really naive and insecure, but he kind of overcame it with like this like over the top, like confidence, like, yeah, woo. All right. You know, that he's like that kind of thing.
He was also big. He was strong too. So people didn't threaten him. He wasn't physically threatened by anybody. It's just, and he, you know, he had that fucking Texas fucking macho can-do attitude.
But he did, yeah. But he
was not streetwise at all.
Yeah, and I mean, he just came across. I mean, he came across as just like a good-hearted dude. He didn't come across as intimidating, even though he was big. Like, and he is very tall. Like when they do all the shots of him like walking the streets of New York City, he's like a head above everybody else. But he just comes across. They said they wanted him to be. And I don't even know if they wanted this from the character, because I think he's a little bit different than the character that's in the book. But when he came in, he was just like this very gentlemanly, like everyone was sir and ma'am, and he had like these like real Southern gentleman type manners. Yeah. And they really, really liked that, that he kind of came across like that. Because I kind of feel like if you had made him, I don't know, if you hadn't made him like that, like such a good-hearted character, I think it would have been easy to make him like the butt of the joke, because obviously, like I said, he was kind of naive and he just kept getting taken advantage of, and you'd be like, holy crap, dude, it's like, get with the program, like get on the Clue bus. But because he was so sweet, you couldn't get mad at it, because he was just kind of like,
no need for me to, says I rocked that Elvis movie soundtrack you guys reviewed a lot. Must be talking about Elvis and Nixon.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that was a great movie.
Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah. And that dude did a great job as Elvis, even though he doesn't look anything like Elvis.
But he channeled
had you believe
Elvis.
It. Yeah, had you believe
that's
it.
That's Michael Shannon. Like I love Michael Shannon. Like, I told you, he played Kuklinski also.
Yeah.
In that other movie. That
he had you believe that he was Elvis.
Yeah, I bought it.
Yeah.
But see, like I said, that's the mark of a great actor.
Yeah.
Even if you don't really look like the person, you can channel the person so much that it doesn't even matter. And then, like, honestly, if you do it good enough, you even start to kind of look like the person.
Yeah.
Like, even though you don't at all.
Well, he was hanging out with a lot of guys from Elvis's friends from the Memphis Mafia, so they helped him. He was asking them, what was he really like? What was he really doing? You know, what was it like being around him? So, and he would hang out with them in fucking character, and they're going, yeah, he was just like that. You know, so that's, I believe it.
Yeah.
Fucking funny, man. doing karate for Nixon and shit. Fucking hitting his hands. This is the tiger girl. My tiger blow. the hands of a tiger. Fucking funny.
But yeah, so like I said, this movie, when it originally came out, it was rated X.
Yeah.
Because of the gay stuff.
Yeah.
Even though obviously there's nothing in here.
It doesn't show anything gay.
Well, it doesn't show anything really. I mean, honestly, I think there's maybe a little bit of nudity, like female nudity.
Between men and women.
But it's not, like by today's standards, it's nothing would shock anybody.
I forgot to mention something, though, about Joe. Joe killed that gay dude.
That's right. He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
I totally forgot that, too. What a dumb thing to forget.
Yeah.
that's kind of significant.
He killed that gay dude to get the money to get Rizzo out of town.
Yeah.
Even though he said he wanted to die. So I don't know. Remember, he said his life was miserable. Please kill me. You know, I want to die and whatever.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
He thought he was calling the cops, and he fucking beat him to death with a phone.
Yeah, that's right.
So, forget that Joe was fucking, would have been fucking running from a second-degree murder charge.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it weird? I had totally forgotten that.
It was because he's likable.
Yeah.
But you don't realize that he murdered that dude.
Yeah. Which, you know.
To save Rizzo, and it didn't work. Rizzo died anyway.
Yeah. It's like, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's like, it's a tragic movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's grim and it's a bummer, but somehow it doesn't, I don't know, it's weird. It's one of those movies that it's like, it doesn't really make you sad to watch it.
Mm-mm.
I mean, a little bit, maybe.
He was so kind of dumb and happy-go-lucky, he forgot that he did that.
Yeah. He was just kind of like, oh, well, shit happened.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. But yeah, that just goes to show that, like, he actually did have, like, you know, like I said, he didn't come across as intimidating, but, like, he totally could be that way if circumstances were correct.
Yeah, and fucking Ratso was like, what happened to that man? Did you kill that man? And then he goes, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's all he said, and that was, like, the end of it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
But it's funny to me, though, that, like I said, that this was rated X in 1969. And I know that this was even before, like, you know, it wasn't, like, considered a porn rating. Yeah. But because of all the gay stuff, even though it doesn't show anything, everything's implication, that they would rate it that. And that was the only reason, because, like I said, there wasn't anything else in there. It wasn't super violent. There was no other nudity, really, or anything like that. So that's just, like, really funny. But I think, like, obviously later on, it's rated R now, because obviously it is. You know, it's No, it's not shocking by today's standards, but no. It's pretty shocking by the 1969 standards, for sure. But honestly, I think I'd like to read the book at some stage.
I think it was interesting just from the psychological elements in it. I'm like, why is this dude doing this? And then they show a flashback.
Yeah, that kind of like...
explains what his thinking is of why he's doing that.
I mean, it's a great film. Like I said, it's a drama. I guess it's like a buddy film more than anything. Because, like, the friendship is sort of at the heart of it. But, you know, like I said, there's a lot of other stuff going on in it. And even though it's the framework of it, like, when you say, like, what the plot is, it sounds, like, super grim and depressing, which it is. But I don't know. I guess because John Voight's character is just so sunny all the time that it doesn't come across like that.
Yeah.
Even though a bunch of sad stuff happens. I don't know. It's really weird. It's hard to explain. The movie doesn't bum me out, even though it's sad. Okay? Yeah. If that makes any sense.
Kinda.
And I don't know if it's just because it has funny shit in it, too, or I don't really know why, but it doesn't make me sad.
It's just a buddy flick gone wrong.
Yeah, sorta. Kind of like a slice of life. And like I said,
it kind of makes you wonder if whoever wrote that book knew somebody that went through that, somebody that knew somebody like that.
They might have. I mean, like right. I said, if I ever read the book, I'll let you know. But I think I would like to read that at some point and see how much it differs. I think it's different a little bit, particularly the Joe Buck character. But all right. Okay, so we have anything else we need to talk about? All right, so we will be back tomorrow, and we'll be discussing The Eyes of Laura Mars, because we watched that last night, and Tom had never seen it. I'd seen it a bunch of times, but...
That was free on Amazon, wasn't it?
It's on Amazon or Hulu, I can't remember. I think it's Amazon Prime, but if you have Amazon Prime, like, you can watch it on there. But yeah, I hadn't seen it. I saw it a bunch of times on cable back in the 80s. I hadn't seen it since then.
John Carpenter flick.
Yeah, he didn't direct it, but he wrote the screenplay, which I had totally forgotten about.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's why this is like a giallo movie then.
Yeah.
But so we'll be talking about that tomorrow at about 3 o'clock. Hopefully our connection holds up. It held up this time. I guess we just needed to restart the router, which is kind of a pain. But yeah, thanks everybody for dropping by. Have a good rest of your afternoon, and we will see you guys again tomorrow.